Well, as you can tell by the video, we're in God's grand story. If you're new with us today, we're in a six-week study of the New Testament. We're not going verse by verse. It would take a little longer than 6 weeks. This is sort of an overview, a survey of the whole New Testament. We started last week with a very special event in our Sunday morning. We're continuing today. And I want to mention to you, if you want to be more a part of it, we have these books up front that you may have. If you didn't grab one yet, make sure you get one. Our Sunday schools are following these books, and you can use them as well. There is a study for every day of the week for the next 40 days. So you can follow along. They tie in with the messages. They tie along with the Sunday schools and the videos we're doing, so it all comes together in a nice, neat package. They are up here on the table in the front. Make sure you grab one. I forgot to mention it last week, so I told Renee to throw a book at me this week. She said, well, I can't throw a book at you. I'm in the nursery. So she left it up here for me. And the funny thing is, this is being pumped into the nursery, so she's in there right now listening to me going, thank you, Robert, you finally remembered. So, all right. Well, it is good to be here. I'm glad you made it through the snow to be with us. The roads weren't too bad, I don't think, except my development and a few other spots. So I'm glad you made the journey. I do want to say, anytime we have a church during snow, whether we cancel or not, you choose what's best for you. All right, make sure that you are safe with your family. I know some of you haul kids. Some of you come from outlying provinces. I mean, some of you, if Trump ever builds the wall, it might be hard for you to get here. So, you know, we're not pressuring you. We love to have church as much as we can. But you decide what's best, and we know that even if you're not here with us, hopefully you'll be with us in prayer if you're at home. As we continue on, I do want to make one quick side note. Pray for the Sommerfeld family. You know, Marty Sommerfeld leads up front here a lot. He was out visiting his brother-in-law in Kansas who has brain cancer. He came back Wednesday and got a call that his brother had passed. So they're back out there again with them. So just pray for that whole family. It's been a long journey, I know, and tough on everyone. But God is still good, and his grace does provide. Today's story is in the book of Mark. You're welcome to follow along with us in your Bible. It'll also be up on the screen. This is Mark 2, starting in verse 13. You've probably heard this before. Well, if you've been here since I've been in New Danville, I've spoken on this verse before, but we're going to take a closer look at it today. This is Jesus when he meets a tax collector. So starting in verse 13, then Jesus went out to the lake shore again and taught the crowds that were coming to him. As he walked along, he saw Levi, the one that made jeans, son of Alphaeus, sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Levi got up and he followed him. Later, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. There were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. But when the teachers of religious law, who were Pharisees, saw him meeting with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked the disciples, why does he eat with such scum? Now, that sounds very harsh, but let me explain this to you a little bit better so you understand where the Pharisees are coming from. The Pharisees were the holy men. They were the priests of the time. The Pharisees helped people follow the law of God. The Pharisees followed a strict set of their own laws to help us follow God's laws. In other words, if God's law said, don't work on the Sabbath, well, the Pharisees would help you understand that. Well, don't tie a knot, don't walk more than 200 yards, don't write more than 7 letters. Any of that would be work, so you don't do that. So they came up with this strict sense of how to follow God's laws, but what they were really doing was making their own laws. And they started to worship those more than God's original intent. So these Pharisees see Jesus there with these tax collectors. Now, why was that so bad? Nobody seems to like a tax collector in any time period in history. But it was a little worse during the Roman times. Obviously, Israel was a conquered country. And they were overseen by Rome, who had conquered them. So Rome exacted taxes from all its provinces, including Israel. And the way they would do that is they would put publicans in place. And a publican was a major tax collector who would then put in minor tax collectors under him. And the publicans actually bid for territories. Well, I can get this much tax. Oh, I can get this much tax out of the people. So they would bid for this. So obviously that is an easily corruptible system. And that's exactly what happened. It became very corrupt. So these publicans were put in place, and there was a publican over Israel, and under him were these individual tax collectors. Now, these tax collectors, they would go, and they were Jews. They were usually from the hometowns. So this was a Jew collecting taxes from Jews for the Romans. So you can imagine they seemed like traitors. But it gets worse. There were a lot of different types of taxes. There was a 1% tax just because you existed, a poll tax or a head tax. You paid 1% for that. You paid for import and export taxes, and they could be collected at any time. So you might be a merchant walking down the road with your basket of fish you just caught. Tax collector sees you. He says, oh, hey, oh, hang on. Are you going to sell those? Yeah. Okay, well, then you're going to be taxed. He would collect taxes from you right there. Right? So taxes could be collected at any time. There were many taxes. There was a 10% tax on grain crops, 20% tax on wine, fruit, and olive oil. There was sales tax, property tax, emergency tax, and other taxes. You're thinking, welcome to Pennsylvania, right? So, yeah, we know all about taxes. But here's the hard part about it. These tax collectors, to make their own money, charged extra tax. Because everything they collected from the people went to Rome, but they had to make a living, so they would tack on their own amounts or special taxes. So imagine, since there was no set amount for what they charge, they could charge whatever they want. Once again, we have a very corrupt system. So picture that for a second. Let's say a few years from now, the U.S. goes into turmoil. Our political system gets worse. We're polarized. And in the middle of our weakness, China takes over. The communist countries get together, and they come in, and they occupy the United States. And they allow us to live. We can still have church. We can do some things, but they're always watching everything. And in the midst of all that, they start taxing us so they can conquer other countries. So they start hiring people in the area. So let's say they hire Mark Clare. Mark's like, sorry, Mark, I'm going to pick on you because you made eye contact. Never make eye contact with the pastor. Everyone knows that. So Mark's like, well, hey, this is all right, you know? So Mark starts collecting taxes from us. You come to church Sunday morning, Mark's like, hey, we have a church tax now. You're going to have to pay me for that. How are you feeling about Mark? Mark starts living in a really nicer house and is driving a Maserati. Yeah, where's he? Yeah, see that maniacal laugh right there? That's how it happens. How are you going to feel about Mark? But that's exactly what was going on in the Roman system at the time. So these Jews, this Levi, was one of those people. And Jesus walks up to him at his tax booth, because the tax booth could be set up anywhere, especially where there's trade going on. And he says, Levi, follow me. And Levi does. And the first thing Levi does, also known as Matthew, you'll hear me use the name interchangeably, is he invites Jesus to a party. Jesus, come over to my house. I want you to meet some of my friends. So he gets all his tax collector friends together, right? Mark gets all his buddies, all the ones collecting taxes in all the other townships. They've always been partying. Everyone hears about their parties because they're spending all our money. And here's Pastor Robert goes and hangs out with them one night. What would you think about that? Okay, yeah. That's what happened with the Pharisees. They see Jesus, here's this teacher, this rabbi, that's supposed to have all this good news, and that's who he's hanging out with. And they have a problem with that. Right? It says, in here it says, all these other disreputable sinners. And that's what they were seen as. They were these sinners, the lowest of the low. So how does Jesus respond when they say that? When Jesus heard this, he told them, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I've come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Let me say that again. I've come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Jesus went to the people that needed him, the ones that were really turned away from God. And that's what we're talking about today. So let's look at the different mottos we have of the people that are in this. First off, we have the Pharisees, and their motto was, just stay away. Why would you hang out with these sinners? Why do you hang out with this scum? As I said, tax collectors were people that worked for Herod. They were traitors. Why would Jesus be with them? To the Pharisees, they were unclean. The Pharisees followed this strict set of laws I was telling you about, and certainly these tax collectors did not, and they thought if they hung out with the tax collectors, they would themselves be unclean like the tax collectors were. So their idea was to stay away. They were all about cleanliness and washing. I am a clean person. There's no sin in me because I'm washed. I don't hang out with those dirty people. Because, man, their dirt will get on me, and that'll mess me up. And I'm going to call out anybody that hangs out with those dirty people. So their idea was to stay away so that you could retain your own purity. That's the Pharisees' motto. But think about this. Jesus' greatest commandment was to love God and to love your neighbor. You can't love your neighbor if you're avoiding them. Avoidance isn't loving, right? It's just avoidance. Jesus said we're to love our neighbor. We're to reach our neighbors. I know that's hard because we have neighbors that are sinners, just like us. They have their sins. We have ours. We're just saved by grace. But I know some people really get under our skin. I get that. But they need to be reached. Even more so, right? I mean, if somebody's really going down a bad path, what are you going to do? We reach out to them. And I know they don't always accept it. And sometimes, you know, you get your hand slapped for even trying. But I'd rather have that than to have not tried at all. Because, see, if I'm going to obey that commandment to love my neighbor, if I just stay away from my neighbor, I can't obey the commandment. If I go to my neighbor in love and try and help them and they reject me, well, yeah, they've rejected me, but I've still fulfilled the commandment because I still love my neighbor, even though I was being rejected, just like Christ did on the cross. So we can't just stay away, like the Pharisees said. We have to be involved. Now, I get it. Part of it feels like, I got to be careful where I go. I don't want to get caught up in sin. I have enough temptations as it is. And that I understand. And you have to be wise about this. As I've told you before, we had a ministry in my last church where we would go hang out in bars and we were trying to reach singers because we had an open mic night and we would invite them to come to the open mic night. So we would go and we'd hang out with these guys and sometimes we would get them to come. Now, there was a danger in that because we would go there, my friend Tom and I, and we'd both order a soda because we're soda kind of guys. We'd throw a soda. And the one night this guy came up to us, he said, "Hey, I noticed you're sitting at a bar drinking a soda. Why would you do that?" Yeah. And I said, when we talked to him, we said, "Here's the deal." And we came to find out his story, and the next week he showed up at our open mic night at church and he played for us because the funny thing was, he was only drinking soda too. He just liked to play his guitar in the bar, and he had nowhere else to play it. Now, here's the deal. My friend Tom and I say this carefully, alcohol is not an issue for us. Now, I say that carefully because as soon as you get too prideful and go, "Ah, it doesn't bother me," it comes back at you. But really, it's not one of the things that tempt me. I've got things that tempt me, that's not one. I also didn't go in alone. I was there with Tom. So there was some accountability there. I had other friends who might have been willing to go but were recovering alcoholics. Probably not a good place for them to go. Right? So you do have to be careful and wise about what you choose. But if we don't make an effort to go into the world, I doubt the world's really going to come to us. Let's be honest about that. We need to reach folks. And it is possible to go into the world. Think about this. Did you ever go to a Red Lobster and order a nice piece of fish? Who likes seafood here? Oh, yeah. Ah, yeah. All right, party at Red Lobster. We're going to plan that one. That's a good one. Or we should just do a fish fry here. On my check. Thank you, Stacy, for pointing that out. That check's not going to go far, so make sure you eat the free rolls when they come. It's like, you know. Tell the waitress, "We're going to stop right there. Can we have the bill, please?" Why do you sit up front? You just throw me off. You know that? Did you ever have a piece of fish, and it's great when you salt it? Good salted piece of fish. Yummy. Why do you have to salt it? I mean, it lived in salt water its whole life. Because it's insulated, right, from the salt water. It lives in salt water, but the salt water doesn't permeate it. So you still have to put salt on it. A good Christian that is following Jesus, is studying the Bible, who's in good fellowship can do that. They can go into the world, but not be dragged down by the world. And that's what we need to do. So let's not be the Pharisees. Our motto is not just stay away. We are to love our neighbor. Secondly, Jesus' motto was, you can't keep me away. Right? I'm there to help those who have a need, those who are sick. Even though he was a rabbi, he deliberately associated with outcasts in Jewish society. It's said in there, many of his followers were considered sinners. They were certainly not perfect people. And you have to understand, in Jewish culture, when you shared a meal with somebody, that was fellowship. It was fellowship. That's not just like, oh, we're just hanging out. That meant you were friends. There was a bit of a bond built. Right? They didn't have cable TV back then. They didn't have social media. If you were connecting with people, you did it over food. That was a very special, special time. So Jesus was saying, I'm relating with these people by sharing a meal with them. That was big. That was big. But he did it because he wanted to reach them. They were lost people. But let me say this. He did it, and yet he still challenged them to be something else. Jesus meets people where they are so he can take them to where they need to be. Right? Now, we need to do the same. We meet people where they are so we can take them where they need to be. So we invite anybody to come to New Danville. Anybody can come here. And we have to be ready for that. It doesn't matter who walks through the door. We have to be ready to greet them. Now, we're also going to tell them there's something better for you. God has a better life and a better way for you to live, and we're going to challenge you with that. So if you become part of this family, we meet you where you are, but you are going to be pushed to be something more than what you are now. And we are humble enough, I hope, to admit that we're doing the same for ourselves already. We're all at different parts of the journey. There's nobody here who's arrived yet. We're all trying to progress. So forgive us our sins when you get to know us, and we'll forgive yours, okay? But let's all work at it together. Jesus meets you where you are, but he wants to take you someplace else. So let's be careful. And don't be afraid to do that, to have meals with people. If I can put out a short plug here, we have a chili cook-off coming up. We're still working on details for that. I cannot wait. Who here likes chili? Yeah, oh, wow, okay. This is going to be an exciting day. Yeah, Mark, yes. Now, okay, let me ask that. Now, I'm just curious. There is sweet chili, and there is spicy chili. All right, how many are the sweet chili people? Okay, how many are the spicy chili? Sweet people, write down their names, because they're the ones you want to watch out for. You know, it's like, yeah. Well, it was kind of an even split. This should be interesting. I thought there would be more sweet because Lancaster, everything's better with sugar. It just seems to be the case when you guys cook. All right, well, this will be fun. But let me tell you, that Sunday is not really about the chili. Well, it is for me, but it's about us hanging out together. We're not fellowshipping enough, and it's so much fun to do it over a meal. I mean, it's great that we're in the lobby space, and there are donuts and stuff there, but it's hard sometimes to get to know people when you don't really know them, especially if you're just sort of standing there. But when you can share a meal with each other, that's a different story. I firmly believe in many of you have had lunches or dinners with me, or we've gone out for snacks or coffee. I believe it's a great way to connect. I probably shouldn't tell you this part, but part of the church budget, I have what's called a hosting budget, and it's put there so I can host people. Maybe if there's a visiting missionary, or if I'm just taking somebody out that's new to the church, or somebody that's been here a long time, I can buy a meal for them so that we can talk. I get a certain amount for the year, and I usually spend it by April. But I'll be honest, I'm not going to apologize for that because I'll tell you, it's a wonderful way to get to know folks. So I just say that to encourage you. Invite somebody out for a meal. If you meet somebody at church, take them over to Taco Bell after. Well, okay, maybe Taco Bell's not for some, but you know, for the strong-hearted.
They deliver now.
Taco Bell delivers?
2019, May.
Lord, you can take me home now. My life's complete. Why would you have Taco Bell delivered to your...
She has five kids.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, you, man. Yeah. They just back the dump truck up to your house and the food comes out. Yeah. I heard that actually. Grubhub and there's a few others. You can get Taco Bell delivered. That's just... Yes, Uber Eats will deliver it. They'll go pick up any food for you that you want and bring it to your house because we're America, you know, and we, yeah. Wow. All right, if you choose to do what Emily Hess does, maybe invite some friends over too. You're kind of defeating the purpose here, folks. But you get what I'm saying. There's still, even though it was ingrained in Jewish culture, I think it's ingrained universally. Food is a universal thing. So don't be afraid to invite somebody. Get to know them. We have a wonderful people here. We really do. We have a bunch of crazy folks here, too. But you know what? That just makes it more entertaining. So invite somebody out to a meal. In fact, if it feels weird, just one couple, invite a couple's out. Go Dutch treat. There doesn't have to be any pressure on you to pay or anything like that. Now, make sure when you tell the waitress you're all from New Danville, you know, decent tip. Okay, don't, you know, oh, New Danville, yeah. The ones that stole the free rolls from Red Lobster, we heard about them. All right. So the Pharisees said, keep away. Jesus said, you can't keep me away. And Levi's motto, Levi, Matthew, I must introduce you to my friend, my friends, to the only way. You know, that's, I give Matthew credit. You know, he was this tax collector, he was stealing from people. Well, we don't know. Maybe he was one of the more honest tax collectors, if you can put those words together, I'm not sure. But let me tell you, once he met Jesus, he knew. And what's the very first thing he does is he throws a party for his friends. I just found the best thing ever. What am I going to do with it? I'm going to share it with my friends because my friends need to hear from this Jesus too. In Jesus, Levi found a new life and he desperately wanted his friends to discover the same peace and joy he had found. Should we not do the same? You know, your influence on the lives of around you is probably stronger than you think. I am amazed sometimes. People will come to me and they'll tell me something I said to them that they have remembered for years that I don't even remember I said. And it's amazing. It's a weight sometimes. But you all have it. It's not just because I'm a pastor up here. There are people around you who listen, who watch what you do. What kind of influence are you? And if you really want to invite them into something wonderful, invite them into the family of Christ. Maybe it starts with bringing them to church. Maybe it starts with a meal. I don't know. Maybe it's giving them advice when they're really feeling down and they're hurting. But don't be stingy about the thing that you've grasped in Christ. Be an influence to those outside. I think that's good enough. Let's just pray. Father, you know, it's easy for me to say this stuff, but I'm not always so good at doing it. Sometimes I feel like I'm a great evangelist, and sometimes I don't know why I stumble over my words the way that I do. Father, I know that as Matthew said in his gospel, he recorded that you said that we're a light unto the world, and that we should let our light shine that people might see our good deeds. Not just our words, but our deeds. So, Father, when people see us, would they be impacted by the life we live, by the words we say, and by the kindness we offer, that they too might find out about Jesus? Allow us to be bold like Matthew, to get our friends to rub shoulders with our Christian friends, that they might find out who Jesus is. Father, I know that the effort will be blessed, regardless of the outcome, because everyone decides for themselves whether they'll follow Jesus. But for your followers, I know you're blessed when we do your will and we love our neighbor. So in that spirit, Father, send us out this week that we might have an impact on the world around us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.